So we come into our third and final week of reflecting on the early Christian community and how that gives us pause to reflect on our current Christian community. And we come to the part that reminds us that they held all things in common and gave to any who had need, which is probably the one that you were all looking forward to, right? Where the priest is going to tell you what to do with your money. But this is not a give the church more money homily. This is not a telling you what to do with your money homily. Just like the last 2 weeks, this is about pausing to reflect on what the role of our possessions, our goods, are in the Christian life within the Christian community. Because it's not a secret, and we know well, money has a huge influence on the way that we go about our life, right? We don't want to give the government too many taxes, but we want the government to make sure that they supply us with all of the things that we need. We want a certain amount of money so that we have some security in our life, but how much is too much and how much is too little? That those of you that are immigrant families, you know that your families back home all think that you're super rich just because you live in Canada. And if it's not your family, you have for sure know a friend where money going back home is a strain on the relationship in the family. How many marriages break down because of financial reasons and so on and so forth. Money has a huge influence in the way that we go about our life. It's not a secret. So I want to read to you kind of the more extended verse from Scripture that describes the possessions of the early church community and how it's described. This is what the Acts of the Apostles says. Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And no one said that any of the things which they possessed were their own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not any one needy among them, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made to each as any had need.
Right.
But the whole point and purpose of the selling of what they had and of giving it over to the apostles was for the sake of the unity that was created within that community, because they were all of one heart and one mind. This is one of the miracles of the resurrection. We can't even keep our own families of one heart and one mind, and yet the early Christian community was doing this to start with because of their shared belief in the resurrection. The difficulty with money is it has this insidious way of making us self-centered. It creeps in, and we're all susceptible to it, that because it has so much influence and power about the way that we're able to live, it can slowly creep into our mind about what money is mine and how much money I need to keep for myself. And how do I use that money for the good of others? And I can become a little bit miserly about doing that. Money does that. Jesus tells us you cannot serve God and the increase of wealth, or mammon is the word used in Scripture. But I remind you, the image that we've been holding on for the last 3 weeks is we are paddling upstream. We are in a canoe going upstream, and our oars have to be paddling at all times. So, if we are living the Christian life, then does the way that I use my possessions differ than my neighbor? Do the way that I approach the goods that I have, the possessions that I have, the money that I have, any different than my neighbor who's not Christian? There's two things as to why we give as Christians that I think are important to hold on to. Both of them come up in that verse from the Acts of the Apostles. The first is that we give for the needs of the church, because we are part of the church. And so we give for the good of the church and the good that the church does with those possessions. But sometimes what we do, what ends up happening, is we kind of almost treat our inclusion in the church like consumers. I give to the degree that I get something back. And that's never the intended way that we give to the church. We're not giving to the church for a service rendered back to us. We give to the church for something bigger than just myself, bigger than just my own lifetime, bigger than even my generation. What we give now to the life of the church is so that this place of worship exists in 30, 40 years, so that when somebody needs a Catholic church in Camrose, there's one here for them. And so what I give isn't just for what I need right now, or even what the church needs right now, it's for what the church needs in God's plan of salvation. And part of the difficulty with that is the moment that we hand that gift over to the church, just like the early church, is that we let go the outcome of that. Because when they placed it at the apostles' feet, it was the apostles that decided who was in need and how those possessions were given out, not the people that gave it. And that can be difficult for us because we work hard to receive the money and the possessions that we have. And so that to then say, here it is, and do with it whatever you would like, it's not an easy thing to do. But we give that at the service of the church because we trust that whatever is deemed necessary will be done through the hands of the church. Now, we know that's not always the case. We know that because human beings are responsible for those things, that it is not treated well, which is where the second point maybe becomes even more important, is our need to give. We have to give as Christians. We have to give pretty significantly. Why? Because it's the reminder to us that in our Christian life, everything is grace. Everything is gift from God. That is our starting point as Christians. I don't have anything. Anything that I have in this life fades. Anything that I do have in this life is a blessing from God. It is not something that is determined by my own strength, because we all know people in our lives who've done lots and have worked hard and haven't ended up at the same point as others. And so it's not something that's purely determined by my own efforts. It begins by this acknowledgement that it is gift. And when it's acknowledged as gift, then I'm more willing to let it go back, because I don't have to hold on to it and I don't have to possess it. The other part is kind of the same idea as penance, is that I have to let it go. I have to let a part of it go so that I don't cling to it too tightly, because I cannot serve God and wealth at the same time. I cannot live my life in pursuit of getting enough possessions so that me and my family live comfortably and worship God, because money will fill the space in my life where God is intended to inhabit. And so I have to make space. I have to empty myself. And money is the physical manifestation of that, but it's a spiritual reality that we're striving to live. Both go hand in hand. One of the things we got to keep in mind is that the way that we give to the church has changed in just a few decades, right? Many of you will remember that when there was a greater disparity in income between peoples, you had a small portion of people who were quite rich, and we had a lot more people that were just kind of getting by with their family. And during that time, when church communities existed, the rich gave significant money to a parish in order to do the big things. And then the rest happened not by the money of the poor, but by their labor. That they gave their skilled labor. You had masons that could build up the church. You had plumbers and electricians, carpenters that would look after all of the things that were needed to make the church exist. And that's how the church operated. But in a very short amount of time, we've shifted. Now, most of us would be considered middle class. We're not sitting at the poverty line, and we're not really rich. We're all kind of in the middle. So what are we supposed to give? And then when it comes to taking care of the church, yes, we still have electricians and plumbers, but now there's residential plumbers and there's commercial plumbers. And so if you're a residential plumber, you might not be able to do the things for the church when we have churches that are bigger. That we can't do that because insurance requires us to do things a particular way so that we can be insured. And so we can't just have Joe Farmer come in and do his best to fix it the best he can on the cheap, because then we won't be insured. And all of these things play into how we take care of what we have now in the changes that have happened. So how does that change in the way that we give? Because with that, what we have to do is we have to hire out more of the work to look after our space, which means more money is needed. So how do we take care of this possession that we have built up and that we have in the way that we go about our life? What we need to remember is that giving as a Christian is not primarily spontaneous. It's an intentional act. It's something that we think about in advance and we do intentionally. That we look at what we have and we look what we can give, what we should give, and we plan for it. We don't, when the ask comes, just reach into our pocket and see what's left and we give it. We give intentionally. And that's existed for millennia. This goes back all the way into our Jewish ancestors. The idea of tithing hasn't disappeared with Christianity. Tithing is, I give 10%. And the way that they used to do that in Jewish culture was that when they harvested their fields, they would leave 10% of their crop, not the bad leftovers, they would leave 10% of their good crop out so that the widows, the aliens, and the orphans could come and take from what was left over. That's how they were prescribed to tithe. We don't have tithing in the Catholic Church because we don't want to limit how much we can give. Not that we don't have to give 10%, but you could give more than 10% if you wanted to. But 5 to 10% is a good place to start thinking about what I give. And not to give all of that to the church, but to give it away. To give some to the church, but others to other places. I found it interesting. Do you know that if you give more than 5% of your annual income to charity, when you do your income tax online, that they will flag you as a possible audit because giving more than 5% is maybe fraud. But for a Christian, commit fraud. Make them flag you and audit you.
Thanks.
That's what we're called to give. So how do I intentionally give what I have? And then the other part is that it's not so much about an amount, but it's more of a percentage, right? We know the story of the widow's mite, the widow who came and brought 2 small copper coins and gave more than anybody else who was giving to the temple. Why? Because of the reason that we give. I give not because a particular amount is needed from me, but because I need to give from what I have back to God, back to the people who need it more. When we think about this idea of holding all things in common and of recognizing that we give to the apostles' feet, it's the recognition that everything is gift and that we are part of one body of Christ and that whatever God has blessed me to look after me and my own, thanks be to God, but the needs of the community are part of that too. And the way that I think through that myself, of where do I give and how do I give and how much do I give, should be a regular part of my life. I know in preparing this homily, one of the things that I reflected on was, well, we all know that inflation has gone through the roof. And so insurance has gone up and food has gone up. So as church expenses, when was the last time that I increased the amount that I give to the church just to match inflation? I know that for me, I haven't increased my amount in 5 years. Inflation increased a lot in 5 years. How do we intentionally give for what is needed? Because this is something that we live together. From the community of faith that we share and fellowship that we build up, that we are here for the breaking of the bread and of worship, and we do that in the way that we share life in common.